Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. If you hadn't figured it out by now, I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up over this gospel.
Yes, sir.
I'm stirred up over Jesus and his resurrection and what he did for me and what he's doing for me today at the right hand of the Father after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, thank you. Oh, we praise you again today for the anointing on this broadcast. And people will, quote, stumble across it all over the world and help meet their needs. For that's what we do, to meet the needs of the people. And we praise you for it and thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the book of Philippians, talking about command, authority of a follower of Jesus Christ. The authority of the believer. Now we've come to the place where we realize the authority is in the name.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I had the Lord to say this to me, and it'll come to bear in the second chapter of the book of Philippians. And if you want to get your Bible and turn there, and on the radio and TV audience, and too, let me remind you, kcm.org/notes, and all of the notes that I have and all the notes that Professor Stevens has on this subject will be, and they won't cost you anything, but you can teach from them.
Amen.
You can outline from them yourself, and we're going to talk about something about that kind of thing here. So, Philippians 2, verse 5. Let, class.
It's a choice.
That is extremely important.
Yes.
Do you see what? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. Whoa. You have to let that mind be in you. Many, many years ago, in meditating and listening and down in here, after meditating this and other things, I heard the Lord say, if you don't let me die, he said, let me die in your mind, then you'll never have faith in the resurrection.
To be absent from the body.
Yes.
Just to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
That's what he's teaching.
That's what it is. And so to let that mind be in you, well, you, someone has, oh, no. For me to be equal with God? Huh? What did the book say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, didn't this great apostle say we have the mind of Christ?
Yes.
To do what? I have the mind of Christ. I sit down in the cockpit of an airplane. Today, I have the flying mind of Christ. I've been flying a lot of years. I soloed in 1961. I don't fly as much as I used to. But now I have the flying mind of Christ. I need that today. I need the flying mind of Christ today. What are you called to do as a believer? What are you called to do? What are you called to do? Well, I don't know, Brother Copeland. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, no, I don't either. Do you own a Bible? Can you read? Well, read the last chapter of the book of Mark. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The believer.
Yes.
The believer.
Yes.
The believer.
Amen.
Shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Yep. Yep.
Dear God, that doesn't stir you up. I don't know what to do with you. Yeah. You see that?
Yeah.
The blood.
Yes.
It's the two of them together, the blood and the name.
You can't separate the two.
No.
No.
The blood is always for redemption.
Yes.
The name is for the power.
Yes. Whoops. And thanks, Greg.
We saw some guys in the book of Acts try to cast out a devil.
Yes.
With the name, but not with the blood.
Yes, that's right.
And they got beat up.
I know Paul, Jesus, and I know Paul. Who are you? So, let's continue to read.
Verse 9 there.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. One translation says a slave. And was made in the likeness of men. And you can check it out if you want to. Revelation 1:6. I just put a little note there by it. Being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself. Humbled himself. Now you go back and tie that together.
Mm-hmm.
In studying that, when I really was when the impact of this came, in studying that, and I'll come to it here in just a moment. Oh my! I said, Lord, I humble myself. You said it. It must be so. You said it. It must be so. Mm-hmm. I let you die. And I let you go to hell. And in my mind, excuse me, I let you suffer there. Mm. And in my mind, in my mind, and in my heart, I see it. I see it. And you did that for me. Your blood. Sinless blood. And you did it for me. And Greg, I noticed in the book of Luke, he's steps away it's on his way on his way to the cross and some women came by And he stopped and ministered to them. And I paraphrase, don't cry for me. Yeah, I mean, just a few steps away from the cross. And they know what's about to happen to him. Because the other two are already there. But he stopped on the way and ministered to someone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now,
that's proof they didn't take his life. He laid it down.
No, he said.
He's still in charge. Yeah.
And they were astonished that he had died so quickly. But he gave it up.
He gave up the ghost. That's what he did.
He released it.
Yes.
And said, in your hands I commit my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave up the spirit. So, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him, I made a little mark through a name, and gave him his name, which is above every name, which is above every name, which is above every name, which is, it is above, you hear me? It is above every name that is named. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Amen.
Of things are in italics. Every knee should bow of names in heaven, names in the earth, and names under the earth.
Yes.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When I was at ORU, I saw it. And I began to write, Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. He's not just my Savior. If he's just my Savior, I would ignore certain things. He's my Lord. He is my commander in chief.
That's right.
And I am his to command.
That's right. You're one under authority as he's under authority.
Yes.
Mary gives us a clue to that whole thing. Whatever he tells you to do.
Go on with that.
Well, this is some of the first use of Jesus' command authority. Let me show you the very first time he uses command authority. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
So here's the deal. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. We have the record of the birth of Jesus. 8 days later, we have his circumcision, his presentation at the temple. He meets a prophet and a prophetess there to encounter him. 2 years later, the wise men show up. And then another 10 years later, he is at his bar mitzvah, and they're astounded at his knowledge and his authority. Even at that, he even says to his parents, I had to be about my father's business when they got lost from him. And then nothing for another, 18 years or so. There's nothing that we have record of with him. So what's he doing? I guess he's spending time with his father, his heavenly father, in preparation. But when he's about 30 years of age, here in Mark chapter 1, he meets, let's go to verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. There came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, there he's getting his commission. And the Father telling him who he is. And immediately, he's taken into the wilderness. This is the blessing on him. So, let me show you this. Matthew, let's go look at Matthew's account. Matthew chapter 4. And verse 1, this first time he uses command authority. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered.
Now, wait a minute. 6 weeks. Nothing to eat. Only water. You and I. And he's out there in that wilderness.
He's in the desert.
We can only imagine, but we can't draw our minds into what the way he looked. But here's the thing of it is, afterward he hungered. Well, what happened? Starvation set in. Mm-hmm. His body began to feed upon itself.
That's right.
It is a driving hunger that only starving people know. Yes. And the body will begin to feed upon itself. And then the last thing to go is the brain. Mm. And that person will die. Mm-hmm. He is, starvation has set in. Now, go ahead, Greg.
Okay, let's go here. Let's look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, he left out what God said. If God said, my beloved son, devil will never tell you you're loved.
That's true.
Never.
True. He left that out of the assignment. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered, and he said, he gave his orders. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to a holy city, set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written, his angels charge over thee, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil took him up to a high mountain and said, I'll give you all these kingdoms. They're mine, because Adam gave them to me. He's talking to the second Adam. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him shall you serve. So Satan's challenging the word in him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He proves it when he says, Satan said to him, give a command to those stones. He's trying to bait him into using command authority.
Yes, he is. Oh.
For his purposes.
Right. Treason number 2.
Yes, sir. That's good.
He baited Adam into doing it. He had the right to do it. He had dominion over that garden and everything else. How often wondered if Adam stepped in there and said, No, get out of my garden.
Yeah, that's true.
One fellow said, he's just a weed puller in it. No, there were no weeds there, you.
That's right, that hadn't happened yet. If Jesus does it, he validates Lucifer's false authority.
That's right.
So he's not going to do it. So many people try to prove that they're in authority. Once you know you're an authority, and let this mind be in you, once you know you're at that place, then you don't have to prove anything.
That's right.
Peter and John didn't have to prove it. People get defensive when somebody challenges their authority and says, bless God, I'm going to prove to you that I'm called to this. No. You don't have to prove anything. Don't take that bait.
That's right.
That's the bait of Satan. So Jesus, after this, this has happened. He goes back to Nazareth. He goes back to Cana of Galilee. And that's when his mother, and he says, it's not my time yet. He just come from this. And now we got about 4 months has transpired, and he goes to the synagogue where he was raised in Nazareth. And he takes the scroll of Isaiah, is opened to him, and he begins to read his mission statement from Isaiah.
Yes, he did.
And now he's walking. Now he's speaking authority. The angels had ministered to him in that he's about to die.
Yeah.
In that state. And the angels came and ministered to him after Satan departed from him. He goes back. He goes to this wedding of Cana of Galilee. And when you know, here's the point of this. When you know your identity and you know your command authority, it's the easiest thing in the world for command authority to flow from you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened to him. In the end, Jesus will pray the glory that you gave me. He stopped reading the scroll, handed it back before the judgment part. It's not part of his assignment on this first trip. I said the first trip. Now, second trip, oh yeah, he'll come back with full armor on, full authority, and he'll take care of the enemy once and for all.
Yes, he will.
I mean, and it won't be a fight because he's already defeated him. Right. See, we talked about angels last week. Lucifer is a fallen angel. You need to renew your mind to that you're seated above him already.
Right.
You're greater than angels because you're in Christ Jesus. He's in you. And so this is why your angels are looking for you to give a command and give authority, because you're in that place. Once you realize that, this flows effortlessly. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. They'd do that to Jesus, wouldn't they? They'd say, if you're the Son of God, do this or heal that person or give us a sign.
Yeah.
He never took the bait.
No, never do that.
Won't give me a sign. He would always call himself Son of Man. What's he doing there? Over there in Philippians, humbling himself. Mm-hmm. He never allowed anybody to call him Son of God.
Don't you love it?
Son of Man. I mean, he paid attention
to
the details of his words, Brother Copeland. We should too.
Yes. If you don't, well, like in the book of Hebrews, you let a promise slip. Let's go over there and look at that.
Yeah. Hebrews.
Mm-hmm. And in the let's read the bottom of the third chapter. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What is unbelief? There's no such thing as non-belief. Everybody's believing something.
That's right.
All the time. Unbelief. Well, we'll take that up tomorrow. We're out of time.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Period. Believe what that book says, not what your feelings say.
Join us for the California Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland, November 14th through the 16th. Register at kcm.org/CA today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Isaiah 55:3 says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promise." You know, the deepest desire of God's heart is to give you a life free from the curse. He is a loving Father who wants you to be filled with health, prosperity, and wholeness in every area of life, spirit, soul, and body. He sent Jesus to pay the price for your sin and make a way for you to come into this covenant family. There is nothing separating you from God's love right now. If you come to Him, He will make all things new and set your life on a course for victory. Jesus has done all the hard part. All you have to do is receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you're ready to change your life forever, then pray this with me. Lord, I confess my sins before you. I turn my life over completely. Take over and be the Lord of my life. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive my new language. Thank you that I'm born again. Amen. Glory to God. You have been born into a new family, the family of God. Welcome home. God is your heavenly Father now, and he's ready to fill your life with every blessing heaven has to offer. If you want to learn more about your covenant benefits in the family of God, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you called the Salvation Package. In this book, He Did It All For You, the Copelands teach you about your new identity as a child of God. You'll discover the inheritance you share with Jesus and how to receive the good things your Heavenly Father has planned for you. There are also two brochures to get you started reading your Bible and building your relationship with God. Your Heavenly Father wants to hear from you. It thrills his heart when you spend time with him so he can show his goodness and love to you. To request your free copy of the Salvation Package, go to kcm.org. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. If you need prayer for any situation, we have licensed prayer ministers in all of our offices around the world. They are trained to pray in faith according to God's word. Give them a call today. Let us help you find the scriptures that release God's power into your situation, and we'll pray in faith with you. There is nothing that faith in God and his word cannot overcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we sure love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to pray for you. If you need prayer for something in your life, we have trained and licensed prayer ministers who are filled with God's love, standing by to pray with you in faith and according to God's word. Just give us a call at 817-852-6000 and let us help you receive God's promises into your life.
Now, don't you miss tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. You'll get just as stirred up as we are, and you'll be glad you did. So, this is Kenneth Copeland, Professor Greg Stevens, and all of the class, reminding you that God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Yes, he is.
To the glory of God the Father. Yes, amen.
Forever.
Hallelujah.
Learn more about who you are in Jesus and who he is in you. Request the Salvation Package free on kcm.org/salvation.